It's KNS of Melanated Smoothie, and you are now listening to episode 3. This week, we are sipping on a peanut butter banana smoothie, and the recipe will be on our Facebook page. This week, we are going to be serving up conversation about parenting, just expanding a little bit on what we talked about last week. So, let's get into it. How do you describe your parenting style?
I want to say it's a combination of a little of old school and a little of I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, just with me personally, my parents, even though they live 6 hours away, they still try to parent, tell me how to parent my kids.
But I like that. I like that sense of like village and togetherness where your parents are like, hey, you know, it's not
kind of, to me personally, I feel like I don't have a village here.
Right.
Because I have no one that I can actually reach out to that's like 10, 15 minutes away and be like, hey, I need you.
Right.
I need this comfort. I like with me and my kids, that is just us. Like we say all the time, we have no one. It's just us.
But do you feel like that strengthens the family bond, like make you closer to your kids closer to each other?
Absolutely, because if we tell them all the time that it's just us. We have no one else. What you have in this house, that's it. It's just us. So our bond has to be very, very strong.
Right.
And we have to have each other's back. Because, again, it's just us. We don't have, like, your grandparents. You have grandparents, but they're not here.
Right.
Like, with my parents being 6 hours away. With his parents being 2 hours away. His dad is still in Jersey. So, all those hours away. So, we try to build our strength off just us. See? And we try to be dependable for our kids, because it's just us.
I feel like that gives you the strength, though, to go on. Like, I feel like my parenting style is very, like, my kids like free-range chickens. I like to let them be able to make their own decisions, of mm-hmm. course, within a certain extent. Like, nothing to obviously jeopardize their safety or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I do seem like it's very taboo to let your kids do what they want, because it turns into, oh, well, we know. Yeah. Who runs the house, but it's like, okay, why is it wrong for me to let my kids pick their clothes or choose their food? Like, I also want them to understand, you cannot fight every battle. Like, I'm not about to wrestle my kids down and make them eat something that they don't want to eat
mm-hmm.
when they can just eat. My daughter, all she eats is rice. Yeah, if anybody knows me personally, they know all my daughter wants to eat is rice. So if I'm taking her to the doctor, blood work is good, she's healthy, mm-hmm. there's no reason for me to make her uncomfortable or traumatize her by wrestling her down and making her do stuff. So, I mean, I definitely think our way of parenting is more new style. Like, we don't vaccinate.
Yeah.
We don't force things on our kids. We don't force religion on them. We kind of just let them do their own thing. We guide them in the right direction, but we mm-hmm. do not make them do anything.
Well, I'm different. I have times where I let my kids pick, like, their own clothing. But if we're going somewhere that they need to be, like, in pristine condition, I'm going to pick their clothes.
Oh, because, of course.
But majority of the times, I'm letting them pick what they want to eat. Because, for one, all the stuff I have going on, running a business, going to school, podcasting, all that, it's a lot. So, they, majority of the time, going and they're picking what they want to eat. Like, majority of the times, I ask them, okay, what do you want me to cook?
Right.
Or what do you want to eat?
I feel like for our parents and our grandparents, it's like,
you going to eat what I cook?
Exactly.
Now, I was like that.
I'm not making a separate
meal. I was like that. Yeah.
And
I was like that. I was like, you going to eat what I cook or you're not going to eat anything. I was like that until probably the beginning of the year. Because I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to force them to eat. If they don't want to eat it, then I'm not going to eat it. Now, sometimes I will tell them, okay, you're not going to get cookies if you don't eat your green beans.
Which I think is fair, but I feel like in a lot of families, a child is not respected. Like a child, and I know that my family was like that, a child does not gain respect. You mm-hmm. do what I say and you don't ask differently, even if what I'm saying is not necessarily mm-hmm. right. And that's one thing that I do not believe at all. You do need to respect your kids, because mm-hmm. how are you going to teach them how to be a respectable human being without showing them mm-hmm. respect themselves? Because they are still people.
Yeah.
They still, I mean, I would never come in here like, Kendra, I made chicken and rice and that's what you're eating and that's it. Like, mm-hmm. you're a grown woman, yes, but still at the end of the day, whether it's you or your daughter, it's like, I can't force you to do anything that you don't want to do.
Yeah. And I'm changing my mentality now with my oldest, it's always, he's 11, so it's always kind of like a battle. But I'm changing my mentality on trying to be more open with giving them respect and listening to what he has to say. Because before, I would cut them off and be like, hey, I don't want to hear it. Right. You're going to do what I say, and that's it. Because I'm the parent and I'm the boss, and that's it. But now I try to listen to what they say, because their dad is very different from me. Now, he'll listen, and he'll go conversation for conversation, debate with them back and forth without right. arguing or cutting them down or shunning them for their opinion. So with him, our teaching techniques were different, but we were still on the same page as far as how we wanted to raise them. Now, I'll jokingly say now, like, okay, y'all, who the boss is? You know, right. who's the boss in the house? And they'll say, oh, mommy. Then I say, oh, daddy, it's mommy and daddy, you know. But I stopped saying it because I want them to let them know that we're equal when it comes to parenting.
And I was just about to say, the perception that your kids have is mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. It is out of this freaking world. Yeah. Like, for me and my husband, we do not argue ever. Like, mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. And when we do argue, it is bad. But I would say we really argue, like, twice a year. Really? And when we do, it is bad. But it's funny because my daughter will be like, you always yell at daddy. It's like, when's the last time I even yelled at him?
I get like, that, too. I get that.
It's so funny that they, like, really see these things.
They
stuff.
See it as you yelling if you're loud.
Right.
And that's a perception that, you know, people, other races have on black people. If they're loud, then they're obnoxious and they're yelling. But my kids will say that, too. Like, hey, you're always loud. You're always yelling. And even their dad, he'd be like, why are you talking so loud? And
I was
like, this is the way I talk. I'm not talking, you know, loud. Or they were like, well, why are you talking, you know, in that tone, you know? And I was just like, I don't feel like I'm talking in a tone, but to them, I am talking in a tone. Like, it could be condescending, or it can be a mean tone, or
yes. And they are such sponges. They just sense everything. Like, my daughter was playing with me one day, and I'm like, stop, get off me playing with her. I'm like, why are you like this? She's like, I'm just a kid, this is what I do. And mm-hmm. I'm just like,
yeah, because I'm trying to change up the way that I talk, because I see my oldest daughter imitating me. Like, when I am not around, she's like the mini me. Like, the way I talk, like, I'll be like, hey, go do this now. And she'll be like, go do this now, because I said
I say that too. Especially when they're, like, playing pretend with each other. Mm-hmm. And my daughter will be like, hey, do this and do that. I'm like, does mommy talk to you like that? Like, where are you getting this? Like, I need to make sure, because if this is what you're portraying, that's I don't what like what I see.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely interesting to see how they see things. And when I'm coming down off of, oh, I'm at work all day, and I'm going here, and I'm running here, and I'm overwhelmed, I do make it a point, especially with my daughter. She's six. She's able to express herself a bit more. Mm-hmm. So just talk to her, like, you know, how's mommy doing? And, you know, if I yell at you, I'm sorry. I just got, like, you know, a little overwhelmed. And just showing her just, you know, that time and affection, because I feel like sometimes we don't make the time for that. Mm-hmm. We do smooth it over with a quick, like, I'm sorry, come on, keep going.
Yeah.
But for their development and, like, how we always talk about breaking the chains, it's important to have that communication.
Because if they're in trouble, with my kids, if they're in trouble, I say, do you know why you're in trouble? Or do you know why I'm popping your hand or something like that? Do you know what you did? Do you know why you lost your electronics? Do you know why you lost your iPad? And majority of the time, my oldest, they can tell me, because I didn't listen, or because I didn't do my chores, or, you know, something to that nature. So they understand why their privileges are being taken away. But I also, even though I'm considered the more stricter parent in the house, I always came in. Like, I always say, hey, you lost iPad for the day, and that's it. Yeah. But then an hour later, I just was like, okay, get your iPad.
But I do like that that's instilling some kind of accountability in them. There are certain traits that my kids possess that I know they get from me, and it's such a proud feeling. Like, my son is so sweet and so loving. Yes. Like, he has this thing now where he just walks up to you and he's like, oh, your face, so beautiful. And I'm just like, what?
Yes.
I love you so much. I miss you so much. And it's just like, I'm raising him to be emotional and loving.
And we need men like that.
Exactly.
We need men to be able to show their emotions, because the men, some of the men that we have now, don't know how to express themselves because they weren't allowed to as a kid. So I catch myself, you know, if my kids are upset or something like that, I had to reteach myself to say, hey, hush it up. I don't want to hear that. Oh, I don't want to hear that crying.
Right.
I had to teach myself to let them express themselves if they're upset. Or with my oldest, he'll say, you know, you never let me say what I got to say. You never let me talk. You just cut me off. So I have to really sit back and be like, okay, what are you trying to say? Even if I'm upset, I take a few minutes and I'll be like, okay, now what were you trying to tell me earlier? What were you saying? Or what were you trying to show me earlier? Because it's times like when we're on the go, we don't take the time to listen to what our kids are actually trying to tell them.
Do you think that's your biggest thing as a parent? Like, I feel like we all have like one thing that's like, if I do this, then I feel like I've succeeded as a parent. Like, because I know with me personally, my biggest thing is just to always have my kids understand their worth. Because with me, yes, I feel like as a child, I struggled with my own self-worth, mm-hmm, and, you know, just feeling like I'm not good enough, or just that I didn't have the support I needed from my parents. So for, mm-hmm, me, my biggest thing with my kids is just letting them know, like, no matter what, your mother is here for, mm-hmm, you, no matter what. I will go to the edges of the earth for you. Like, if, mm-hmm, my kids ever said, like you didn't blah, blah, blah for me, it would devastate me. Like, yes, I just want them when to always older, understand that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That I'm, you know, I'm always here for them. Because, yeah, parents say that their love is unconditional, and unfortunately, that's not always the case.
Parents, yeah. Some parents' love does have a condition on it. With my kids, I try to let them know that, you know, we're here, even though we know we're not going to be here forever. I always say that, you know, I'm going to be here forever. Even if I'm not on this earth, I'm still going to be here. I'm with you forever. So I always try to, you know, encourage them to always talk to me. Even if I'm not up for talking or listening to what they have to say, I still try to open up. If I'm busy, I always try to wait till I'm done and then be like, hey, what were you saying? What were you telling me? You know, to just to get them to know that I'm a listening ear, because I never want to be the parent to where my kids can say, oh, well, you didn't listen to me. You didn't hear what I said. Especially if something is going on with them, I always want to know. Like, I always tell, I can't stress it enough.
Because I do feel like that's another thing that, like, if someone's like, hey, your child did this or your child's going through this, I never want it to be news to me.
Yeah.
Like, well, how come he didn't tell me? How come, mm-hmm, she didn't tell me? Like, yeah. I don't feel like I should find it from outside. I do want to be the kind of parent where it's like, hey, mom, I'm feeling this, mm-hmm, or I'm going through this, and we can, yeah, talk through it. Even if I can't find a solution, at least I'm in the loop and I'm, yeah, able to comfort you to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
not being judgmental. That's mm-hmm, another big one on my list. Like, no matter what they go through or what position they put themselves in, even if it disappoints me, not judging them for making those decisions, because we all make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to change my tone with that. That's something I'm working on. Me personally, my parenting goal is to work on my patience. And people be like, well, with your kids, how do you not have patience? But it's possible not to have a lot of patience even having kids. So I'm working on my patience with them, because you know how some parents can be like, hey, do this, and they expect it to be done right then, you know? So with me, I understand that, you know, we're a busy household. So I understand if I say, hey, go do this, and you don't do it right then, and I'm going to give you a few seconds, and then I'm going to tell you, okay, do this, and let's get it done. And then, but I like that now with my oldest, I sit and watch him and his dad have, like, long, drawn-out 30 minutes, an hour conversation about something.
But I think it's that you have expectations for your child that you don't have for other people's kids. Mm-hmm. Like, if your kid's running around here doing whatever, it's like, that's her kids. Like, yeah. Okay, whatever. But then if my kid do it, it's like, oh, you know better than that. That's the reason I feel like you don't have that patience, because it's like, especially when it comes to like educational stuff or something like that, where it's like, oh, you know, read this sentence. Mm. Immediately, you're just like, girl, I know you know this. We just did this. You're so smart. You're so, mm-hmm, this. You're so that. How come you are not capable of redoing that for me? You a piece of me. I know you know what you're doing. So it's like, you have these expectations, and you still have to remember that they're just kids, you know?
Yeah. So this concludes episode 3 of Melanated Smoothies. But we have something in store for you guys.
So this week we'll be running a campaign. It's going to be a competition. All you have to do is answer our parenting question, and each answer will be entered in for a chance to win a $25 gift card. So the question is, do you want what's good for your child, or do you want what is best? So we anticipate listening and looking at your answers, and we will check in with you guys next week.
Don't forget to answer on our Facebook.